The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, we want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. I wasn't aware that we were live here. Sometimes Facebook does some weird stuff here. So we are live, and we want to welcome you guys here to the broadcast. And if this is your first time joining us, we welcome you. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, we want to finish up our series on this four-part series that we did, that we've been working on and been going over for the last couple of weeks. And this time, our fourth and final segment, we're going to be dealing with a message called From Abraham's Bosom to Paradise. Going to see that come up here in just a second on your screen. Again, from Abraham's bosom to paradise. And of course, we're going to clarify exactly what that means on today's segment. So again, we want to welcome all of our podcast audience, our YouTube audience, and our Facebook Live audience. And today, we're going to be completing our fourth and final message of this four-part series on Lucifer and the underworld. And the origin of Lucifer. And today, this message is called From Abraham's Bosom to Paradise. We're going to go through some scripture on this, guys. We got a lot of scripture. I want to show you the most prominent reference to this, and that is going to be found in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verses, we're going to do 19. And we're going to read all the way through 27. We read this on our last part, but we want to read this again. And then I'm going to home in on this section dealing with Abraham's bosom. Again, this is Luke 16. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died. We don't know how long the process of time was, but we can verify that this man, whoever this man was, the beggar had died. Listen to this. And was carried. And then this is what I want to show you guys. I want to pull this scripture up here so you guys can see this. And this is what we want to home in on, and that's verse 22 through 23, because there's a phrase here that we're going to be dealing with on today's segment. So we want to give just a second for it to catch up and to pop up here. This is verse 22 through 23 and 23. Remember, the poor man died. Now listen what it says. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels, that's the angels of the Lord, to Abraham's bosom. Somebody say Abraham's bosom. So what in the world is that? We're going to talk about that in just a second. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So here you have Abraham, Lazarus, and the beggar. All right, let me say that again. You have Abraham. You have three men here that's mentioned: Abraham, Lazarus, and the beggar. All three men had died. Abraham was first, the beggar was second, and then the rich man was last. All three men were in the same location, and they were all in what we call the underworld, or below the earth. And they were all in a compartment called Abraham's bosom. So Abraham's bosom refers to a place of comfort in the biblical Hades or Sheol, described in the New Testament. This is a location where the righteous dead await judgment day. This phrase and concept is both found in Judaism and Christianity. The word found in the Greek text form bosom or kopos in Greek means lap or bay. Again, this place in the underworld was under the earth called Abraham's bosom, was a compartment under the earth that God himself had created. Both the righteous and the unrighteous, when they died, they went down into this place. Old Testament, before, this is very important that I say this, before the resurrection of Christ, this is where all the dead were placed. But I want to say this, you'll discover that according to Scripture, listen to this, in Luke 16, now you're going to see this come up on your screen. It says Luke 16, 26, but I'm going to start at verse 24. Luke 16, 24. So again, you're going to see 26, but I'm going to start at 24. And then he cried, listen to this, and said, now who is this? This is the rich man. The rich man died and said, Father Abraham, remember, he could see him in this place. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Now listen to this next part. This is verse 26, Luke 16, 26. And besides all this, between us and you. Now, who's the us and you in this context? The us is the beggar and Abraham. Okay? The rich man here is the you. Now, let me say it again. Verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, neither can those from there pass to us. So here's the bottom line, guys. In this compartment in the underworld, under the earth, there we know now scripturally there was a place, Old Testament, before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, called Abraham's bosom. There was a great gulf fixed. We don't know how wide it was. We don't know how deep it is. We don't know really what it looked like, but it was a chasm or a gulf fixed, almost like you think of the Gulf of Mexico, like this huge gulf that separated the righteous and the unrighteous. Now we know, according to Luke 16, those that died and did not have a covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were in torment. Now, we base this upon the rich man who said that he was in torment. He was in a flame. He wanted someone to come and cool his tongue. Okay? So we can see that here. But those that were that died in covenant with God prior to the resurrection were in comfort, or they were in rest. Now, again, this is very fascinating. All right? Now listen to this. In Luke 16, 27, he says, and then he says, I beg you therefore, Father, he's speaking to Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers that may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, notice they were not sleeping. And I will reiterate this over and over again, because there is this, there is still this concept among certain denominations that when we die, we enter into a time of sleep. Now, the New Testament uses the word sleep, but it's a Greek idiom that refers to what we define as death. Listen, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. They weren't sleeping. They were dead, deceased. Their soul and their spirit had left their body and had gone down into an underworld chamber under the earth called Abraham's bosom, howbeit the rich man into a place of torment, and Lazarus was in a place of rest and peace. All right, now I want to show you, this is very important when we get to this part. I want to show you something from Leviticus 16. Now, I want to show you why Jesus did some things that he did that we're going to talk about in just a minute. In the old, listen, we've said this before, and I'll give credit to whom's credit's due, because Perry Stone was the first one I ever heard say this many, many, many years ago, and it's always stuck with me, so I'm going to give him the credit for coining this phrase. The Old Testament is the New Testament revealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament concealed. Therefore, things that you see in the New Testament are merely types and shadows of the Old Testament. Again, the New Testament are merely types and shadows of the Old Testament. For example, in Leviticus chapter 16, we see here that God commanded the high priest. He commanded the high priest. This is very important when we get to this. Again, Leviticus 16, God commanded the high priest one time a year to go into the Holy of Holies, that he was commanded to put on the holy linen tunic, the linen trousers on his body, that he would be girded with linen sash and with a linen turban for his attire. His purpose was to make atonement for himself and for the people. Again, you can find all this in Leviticus 16. He would then take the blood of a lamb without blemish. He would take the blood or a bull, a blood of the lamb or a bull. He would take the blood of an animal without blemish, and he would take that blood and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat of the east side of the tabernacle. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. You can find this in Leviticus 16, 14. And then it says he would bring the blood inside the veil. This is in the Holy of Holies. And do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. So he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So he would take the blood of this animal and he would shed its blood, and he would make atonement for himself and for the people. Don't miss it. And he would purify the furnishings of the temple, the mercy seat, the lavender, the menorah, all the contents of this tabernacle would be cleansed by the blood. Hello, somebody. So you say, why is this important? Here's why it's important. Now let me pull up. I'm going to pull you some more scriptures up here and show you why this is important. We're going to play out a scenario. Now we're going to go to, we talked about before Christ's resurrection. Before the resurrection of Christ, there was a compartment under the earth called Abraham's bosom. We know now there was a great gulf fixed. It separated the righteous from the unrighteous, and they could not intermingle, or they could not cross each other. I hope everybody's following along with me. But something happened when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was crucified and he gave up the spirit on the cross. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 9. Listen what the scripture says. This is the Apostle Paul wrote this out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church of Ephesus. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, this is talking about the resurrection, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, that goes up. What does it mean? But that he also first descended. Wait a minute now. Hold up here, Brother Ricky. What does the scripture say again? It says before Jesus, it says it right here in the script. If you want to argue with me, you're arguing with scripture. Here's what it says. He first descended, look what it says here, into the lower parts of the earth. Guys, that does not mean the southern parts of the earth. No, that is, when it says he descended, you can do all the Greek word studies you want on that. Look up concordance, look up commentaries. They will all agree that Jesus, when he gave up the ghost on the cross, when he gave up the spirit, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Why? Because he led captivity captive. What does that mean? I know you want me to tell you that right now, but we're going to have to wait. Let me show you something else here. All right? Now, you're going to see a verse of scripture here, John 20, verses 7 through 17. I want to read some scriptures before this scripture to get you to this place. All right? So you're going to have to bear with me. Here we go. Ready? This is John chapter 20, and we're going to start at verse 1. Now, this is that Jesus was crucified on the cross. He gave up the spirit. His physical body was taken off the cross, wrapped in linen and garments. He was buried in a tomb, right? We all know this story. And then the stone was put in front of it. But look what happened. Watch this. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early. This is where Jesus' body was at. While it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. And Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Now, stop. I got to say this real quick. Notice that there was linen clothes lying beside Jesus. These would be the clothes that he was buried in. And the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. But let's go on. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now here's where we get to the good part. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Now remember, what is in the tomb? At the time when they first got there, there was no body. That's not a N-O-B-O-D-Y. There was no physical body in the tomb. There was linen clothes that Jesus was buried in, correct? Yes. There was a handkerchief that was neatly folded laying there, correct? no body. Because again, they didn't understand that he had to be raised from the dead. So here's Mary standing outside the tomb. She's weeping. She looks in the tomb. Now watch what your Bible says. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, not was lain, where he was lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Now's when I want to pull this back up. Listen to this. This is so powerful. And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Remember, she didn't see him. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. So now Jesus suddenly appears and did not know that it was Jesus. She didn't recognize him. Now, there's some stuff here that's interesting. Watch this. Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, listen, look what it says here. I've highlighted this for you. She's supposing him to be the gardener. Says to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Now, question. Why did Mary mistake him as the gardener? You want to know the answer? Because he was given the high priest garments that resemble and look a lot like a gardener. And I don't have to, I should have pulled it up here and I could show you some pictures and side by side. And it looks a lot like a gardener, like gardeners used to wear then. But it's a one-piece linen garment that the high priest would wear on the Day of Atonement. And Jesus did not walk around wearing that all the time because he was not the high priest before this time yet. But now, come on, somebody, the two angels has provided him the high priest garments. Why are they providing him the garments? The answer, listen, let me read on here. This is in John 27, 17. Jesus says to her, "Mary," and she turns to him and says, "Rabboni," which is teacher. And listen to this. Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me." Some translations say, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now stop. Guys, we got to break this down. This is what good teaching does. It breaks down. See, I can get up here and hoot and holler, and we can shout, and we could dance and get all goosebumply. But listen, what good is it if I get you to shout, but you walk away with no revelation? You get a feel-good emotion, but you don't get any deep revelation. That's what we're doing today, giving you deep revelation. All right? So we now know that the garments that Jesus wore when he was buried was not what he was wearing. He was wearing what I believe to be a high priest garment that these angels provided for him. All right. Number three, Mary went to touch Jesus, probably hug him and embrace him. And he restrained her and says, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Now we got some real problems here. Number one is, why is he saying not touch her? Or why is she said, "Don't touch me"? The answer to that is in Leviticus 16 in the Old Testament, when you understood the high priest that went in to the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement was not permitted to touch anyone. He was not permitted to have physical relations with his wife. No one was permitted to touch him. He was not permitted to be undefiled. He could not, he had to be blameless. He had to be flawless. He could have no physical blemishes. He could not be unclean. There could be no sin in his life. And Jesus said, "Do not touch me." Why? Because now Jesus has become the high priest of the profession of you and I's faith. But here's the real deep part. Why did he say, "I have not yet ascended to my Father"? Well, hold on. So where have you been, Jesus? The answer, guys, was found right here in Scripture. It was found right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me pull it up again. Here's the answer. Paul answers this question of where Jesus was. Again, Jesus first descended. That means to go down into the lower parts of the earth. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, that's the center, so shall the Son of Man, come on, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. What's he talking about? Again, Jesus went into Abraham's bosom, to the lower parts of the earth. Why did he do that? I'm going to pull this back here, and we'll pull this back up here in just a second. You ready for this? It all goes back. Let's see. I want to pull up a scripture. Yes, here we go. I may not have to put these in the right order. I want to make sure. Here it is right here. I want to show you what took place here. All right, this is Luke chapter 23:39-43. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross. I want to give you a backdrop. Again, this is before the resurrection. We're going to jump around here. I'm putting all the puzzle pieces together for you today. Jesus is in the middle. He has a thief on the left. He has a thief on the right. They're hanging on the cross. He has not given up the spirit yet. Listen to this. And then one of the, this is Luke 23:39-43. And then one of the criminals who was hung, one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And were indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he's talking about Jesus. And then he says to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Look at this. And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, we've got some talking to do about this. Jesus told him, today, present tense, that day when he was crucified, not in a time to come, down the road, at the end of the age, at the end of the tribulation. No, he says, "Surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now watch this. Paradise, all the way from Adam to that present day of Golgotha, where that thief said, "Remember me." From that point to that point, paradise was in Abraham's bosom. It was the compartment of rest where Abraham was, where the beggar was. We know this, okay? And then he says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Now, according to Ephesians that we just showed you, when Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," your Bible says his soul and spirit went out of his body. And remember, he told the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus went down into the lower parts of the earth. The Bible, and I didn't pull this up. I should have pulled this up. Forgive me for pulling this up, but I promise you, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews. And forgive me for not pulling this up because it slipped my mind when I was putting a study together. But it says that he went and preached to the spirits of the dead that were in captivity. Jesus went down into Abraham's bosom and he began to preach himself. He began to preach, come on somebody, that he was all the way from the beginning to the end. He was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Come on, you can start shouting right now. He was the ram. Come on, he was the lamb that Abraham saw that was afar off. Come on, he was the fourth man in the fiery furnace. He was revealing himself all the way. Come on, he was revealing himself in the Old Testament all the way and here to the New Testament. So he come down, he began to preach and say, I'm the one who Isaiah mentioned. I'm the one who Hosea preached about. I'm the one who Amos mentioned about. I'm the one who Ezekiel talked about. I'm the one who Jeremiah spoke of. Come on, somebody. And he began to reveal to those in Abraham's bosom who he was. And the Bible says that he led captivity captive. So he led them out of the graves. He emptied their spirits out of Abraham's bosom. Well, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Ricky. That sounds a little bit far-fetched. Okay, good. Because I'm going to show you in Scripture where this is at. Watch this, Matthew 27:45. Look at this. We're going to pull it up here. Ready? Here we go. I see some of you guys on Facebook Live asking questions. You're getting ahead of me. I'm going to answer those when we get into this. Look at this, Matthew 27:45-54. This is at, okay, he gives up the spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split and the graves were opened. Look, this is in your Bible. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, they didn't eat too much fish and bread and fell asleep somewhere on the Sea of Galilee and were taking a nap and they woke up because there was an earthquake. That's not what that means. Again, this is a Greek idiom meaning they were dead. Their graves were open and the saints that had died under the old covenant, their graves were open. Look at this. And their bodies were raised, they come up out of the grave after his resurrection. And they, the bodies, went into the holy city and appeared to many. Wow. Some of y'all didn't even know that was in the Bible. Look at this. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, they feared God greatly. You think? Saying truly, this was the Son of God. Guys, listen to me. Come back to me. Watch this. I want to show you something real quick. Think about if you were there on that day and you heard everything that went on. These centurions, they were all there, guys. From the time that they nailed Jesus to the cross, they put the nails in this, or the stakes in his hand. They put the crown on his head. They hoisted him up on the cross. They heard the conversation of the thieves and one say, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. They were all there. They were there when they went to break the legs and they broke the thief on the left. They broke the legs of the thief on the right, but they didn't break Jesus' legs so that it might be fulfilled that not one of his bones would be broken. These guys were there when his garments were, when they cast lots for his garments. They were there when they took a sponge and they put it up to his mouth filled with vinegar and when he was saying, I thirst, and he refused to drink it. They were there when the centurion stuck the spear in his side and blood and water gushed out of his side. And then they were there when he said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? And then they He says, Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. And there was a great earthquake that was so powerful that it ripped the veil of the temple that no man could rip with his bare hands. And it was ripped supernaturally from top to bottom. And graves were open. And the saints of old were seen walking about the city. And you wonder why these guys were saying, surely this was the Son of God. Listen to me. Where was the thief? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Friend, I'm going to tell you, here's what happened. Jesus emptied paradise out of Abraham's bosom. Thus, it fulfilled what the scripture says when it says that hell has enlarged itself. How did it enlarge itself? Because Abraham's bosom, this righteous compartment, was removed from the lower parts, and God redestined it. And he repositioned it into the third heaven and the heaven of heavens with him. So this thief, that when Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise, this thief was one of those who was resurrected from the dead and was walking among the others. Now watch this. Oh, I'm going to go deeper. If this upsets you, then you're really going to get upset here in just a second. Watch this. I got to show you some stuff here. All right. Look at this. Let me pull this up here. Look at this. This is 2 Corinthians 1:8. Here we go. For we know that if our earthly, this is 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we know that if our earthly house, that's not talking about the house that you live in, that's got a door, windows, and a roof. It's talking about this physical body. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's talking about the resurrected body that will come one day. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. That's the Holy Spirit living in you, breathing, living and moving and operating through you when you become born again. That's what happens. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, again, he's talking about the physical body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, where is the Lord? Answer, the third heaven and the heaven of heavens. Listen to this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Again, when you die, the real you comes out of this earthly tent and it goes either down, if you don't have a covenant with God, your name is not in Lamb's Book of Life. It goes down to a place called Hades. We've already covered that in our last episodes of this series. You go into a place, a place of torment, a compartment called Hades. Eventually, that will be emptied out into the lake of fire. But if you have a covenant with God to be absent from the body, you're not sleeping in a grave somewhere. You're not in a tomb somewhere. You're not cremated and put in a box somewhere sleeping. No, that's your physical body. Goes back to the dust. But your spirit, the real you, comes out of your body, and it goes to be absent from the body. Come on, somebody, is to be present with the Lord. So you say, well, hold on now. Well, I'm not understanding this. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Some people are saying this makes no sense. I don't understand how they're not saying it. It makes no sense. To me, I put all the puzzle pieces together and it makes perfect sense. 2 Corinthians 12, this is the Apostle Paul. This is after the resurrection. Listen what he says to the church of Corinth. It is doubtless not profitable for me, that's Paul speaking, to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Listen to what he says. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. Now I'm going to stop right there because I got to talk about this for a second. All right. First of all, this person that Paul's talking about, he's speaking in the third person here, but it's him. All scholars say that Paul is speaking about himself. And when you study this and go into detail, it appears that the apostle Paul was stoned in Lystra. He was left for dead. He actually died in Lystra. He was stoned to death. And the disciples gathered around him, prayed the prayer of faith, and Paul was raised from the dead. When Paul died, he received this revelation. And it is believed that his spirit came out of his body. And this is where he got this revelation. And it's right here. And again, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. So I want to pull this up again. I want to go back here. Watch this. Such a one. And we know, again, we've already clarified this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Was caught up. And by the way, that word caught up is harpezo, and it's the same word used in the New Testament, talking about at the sound of the trumpet, we shall be caught up. The two witnesses in Revelation 11, they'll die and their bodies will lay in the streets for 3 days and they will be caught up. It's a resurrection process, caught up. John in Revelation 4, he hears the voice of a trumpet and he hears the word caught up. He was caught up. It's the same connotation, same word. The Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven. Now, what are we talking about the third heaven? What is that talking about? There is, when you study the scripture, there is three heavens. Now, we're not talking about there's three places like where God abides in heaven. No. Let me explain. The first heaven is the atmospheric heavens. This includes the air that we breathe. It's the space that immediately surrounds the earth. This is where where you see the puffy clouds, you see the sky, the blue sky. This is the first heaven. The second heaven, and by the way, you can find this all in Isaiah. I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 14 talks about this. The second heaven is where the solar system is. This is where the stars are, the planets are, the planetary system. This is the second heaven. And then the third heaven, this is called the heaven of heavens or the home of God. This is beyond, this is what Isaiah talks about, the regions beyond the north. This is a place where NASA can't get to it. No spacecraft can get to it. No satellite can reach it. No telescope can find it. Come on. This is beyond the heaven of heavens. This is where God Almighty is seated, where his throne is, and where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is currently at, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. Don't ask me to explain it, but I'm telling you, listen, when we die, and we are right with the Lord, we have a relationship with God, our spirit and our soul is caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, in a tomosecond, we are in the presence of the Lord. Watch this. Let me go back to this scripture. Some people's getting their theology rattled here and they're getting all upset on Facebook, but it's okay. We're going to go on. Listen to this. And I know such a man. I'm sure he does, being that it was himself. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise. Look at the word that Paul uses, paradise. Again, when was this? After the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, I was caught up into paradise. So Paul, actually went to this place in heaven. There's a compartment, just like there was a compartment in the underworld called Abraham's bosom, Old Testament. Now, present tense, after resurrection, there is a place in heaven, a compartment in heaven. I believe with all my heart, it's under the throne room of God. I don't have time to develop that, but I can show you in the book of Revelation where John sees underneath the throne of God, the souls under the throne that are resting for a period of time. I believe this is where paradise is, present tense, right now. All right. Paul went there in the spirit because he died, gave up the spirit, but he was raised from the dead. It was not his time yet. Listen, he was caught up in a paradise and he heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. In other words, golly, guys, Paul saw things in paradise, in heaven, that he was not even permitted to talk about. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Now, watch this. Let me go back. Jesus, look at this. I want to show you another scripture. Let's go back up here to, I'm going to show you the book of John. Look at this, John 14, 1 through 3. I'm coming to the home stretch here. I'm going to bring it home. John 14, 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus speaking before the resurrection. When was it? Before the resurrection. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Stop. Jesus was not talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary, the earthly father of Jesus. This is not who Jesus was talking about. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Question, where was his Father's house? Answer, in heaven, in the third heaven. Listen, if it were not so, I would have told you. Remember, when was this? Before the resurrection. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, guys, you want to know how Jesus prepared a place in heaven for you and I? The answer is, when Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and he says, don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to the Father. Jesus had a purpose. His purpose was he was about to go. Remember, the Bible says he first descended before he ascended. So he went down into the lower parts of the earth. He led captivity captive. The bodies, those bodies that came out of Abraham's bosom were seen walking the streets about. We just covered that. But watch this. He was about to go up. Why did he need to ascend to the Father? Answer, because he would take not the blood of a goat, not the blood of an earthly lamb, but just like the high priest in the Old Testament would take the blood of that animal without blemish, and he would make atonement for himself and the people. Jesus Christ was going to take his own blood. Why do you think the Bible says that he was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world? Excuse me. Why do you think the Bible says if the princes of this world had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory? Because it was the blood. It was the blood of Jesus that was, come on, it was held in secrecy. It was not revealed to Satan, because if it was revealed to Satan, he would have not allowed Jesus to be crucified. And because it was going to be Jesus taking his own blood, and just like the high priest on the earth, went into the Holy of Holies and purified, come on, the Holy of Holies with the blood of an earthly animal. Jesus would go into the Holy of Holies. He would enter into that place in the third heaven. He would take his own blood and he would purify heaven. You say, well, Brother Ricky, why would Jesus need to purify heaven? Answer, because sin did not originate on earth in a garden on earth. It originated in a garden in heaven, and it originated with Lucifer, because sin was found in him. Iniquity was found in him. Therefore, that's why Jesus said, listen, guys, I'm getting ready to prepare a place for you so that you can be with me for all of eternity. But it cannot be done right now. I can't do it right now, because the blood of an earthly lamb cannot make atonement for once and for all. That's why the old priest, the Old Testament priest, had to do it year after year after year after year after year. But Jesus said, what I'm about to do, I'm going to do it once and for all. I'm going to make an atonement for all of humanity. And Jesus said, I'm going to take my own blood and I am going to purify heaven, the heaven of heavens, so that where I am, you can be with me also. Now watch this. I want to pull up some more stuff here, and then we're going to close it. Let me go down here. Way down here. So, all right. Now look at this. Acts chapter 1. Now this is after the resurrection. He'd already kicked the bottom out of the grave, the whole nine yards. Look at this. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Somebody say a cloud. This is not talking about, listen, this word can have a dual meaning. It can mean a cloud that you see in the sky, but it's also a Greek idiom meaning an army or a large capacity. I'm going to prove that to you in just a second. While they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Now it's interesting. Here's those same two men that was with him when he was raised from the dead in the tomb, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? Where were they looking? Up into heaven. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. Keep that in mind. Keep some stuff here in mind. Number one, it mentions a cloud received him out of their sight. Number two, he goes up into heaven. Number three, these angels say that this same Jesus is going to return in the same manner in which you saw him taken. Now watch this. Go to Hebrews 12. Go over to Hebrews 12. I'm going to give you just a second to pull this up. Hebrews 12. Look at this. Hebrews 12, 1. Here's that word cloud again. Therefore, we also, since we are, and by the way, in context of this, it's talking about all these men of faith. By faith, Noah did this. By faith, Sarah did this. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Joseph did that. By faith, Samson did this. And it goes through all these heroes of faith. Therefore, we, all of us, you and I, the disciples, the apostles, all of us who believe in him. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I love this because this really brings out the Greek idiom of the word cloud here. And it's the word that we get in Roman times. It was a word that was used when they would look out into the battlefield and they would say, here comes a great cloud of soldiers. It was a multitude of soldiers. Somebody say it's a word that was used for a multitude. So I'm going to read this again. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great multitude of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Wow. Guys, do you know in the context and reference of Hebrews 12, when he says we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about those who have gone on before us. So for me, I have a great cloud of witnesses in heaven that's already gone on before me. My mother's there. My father's there. My stepfather's there. My grandmother's there. I've got some friends of mine that have already passed on. They're already in paradise. They're already in heaven. They're a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering me on the other side of this thing, saying, come on, man, you can do this. You can fight the fight of faith. You can lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets you, that's going to keep you and snare you in this race, and you can keep pressing forward. So watch this. Now let me read this. Now let me go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. I got to give you just a second. It's got a delay here. I got to pull this scripture up. Look at this. Acts 1, 9 and 11. Acts 1, 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a multitude, again, I showed you that word right there in Hebrews 12, received him, and it can be interchangeable here. It can also mean a cloud in the sky, don't get me wrong, but it can also mean, this is why I said this is deep. This is not a shallow teaching. This is not some preaching message here. This is teaching. A multitude received him out of their sight. Now, who was this multitude? You ready? I'm going to give you the answer. A while ago in Matthew 27, I told you that there was multitudes that came out of the graves. They were seen walking the streets. They appeared to many that came out of the grave when Jesus was raised from the dead. Question, where did those people go? I mean, ask it again. Where on earth, or should I say, where in heaven, did these people go when they came out of the grave? You ready? I believe, based on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, lining up scripture, I believe Acts chapter 1, those multitudes of people was the cloud of witnesses, or the great cloud of people that Jesus was ascending up. Acts chapter 1, though all those people that came out of the grave, I believe were ascending with him into the heaven of heavens. And this is why it was so enamoring to the disciples, and they were gazing into heaven, and these two angels had to say, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that you see is going to return in the same manner in which you see him taken out. Now watch this. This is going to blow you away. Watch this. This is so powerful, guys. I love this. And you ready? You want a snapshot? You want a glimpse of the future and prove to you that the two men standing there knew what they were talking about when they said that Jesus is going to return in the same way you saw him go up, you're going to see him come. Look at this, Jude 14 and 15. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, behold, look at this, the Lord comes. Where's he coming from? He's not coming out of the earth. He's not coming out of Abraham's bosom. He's not coming out of a tomb. Come on. He's not coming off a cross. He's coming out of heaven. That's where he's at right now. He's in the heaven of heavens. He's seated at the right hand of God, by the throne of God, making intercession for you and I. And it says, behold, future tense, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, friends, it says 10,000s of his saints are going to come with him. Excuse me, that kind of sounds like the definition of the Greek idiom cloud or a multitude of people. Oh, come on, somebody. You better get happy with me right now. I'm trying to tell you that just like Jesus went to the heaven of heavens with a multitude of saints with him, he's coming back out of the heaven of heavens. And that one day in the future, he's coming with a multitude out of heaven. And he, come on, and I'm telling you, most of us that are watching this broadcast are going to come with him. Come on, out of the heaven of heavens when he's riding on a white horse. Listen, I don't have time to break this down, but I can tell you that I believe there's going to be two resurrections. One is the harpazo, the rapture, the catching up, the catching away, the gathering together, whatever you want to call it. He comes. And it says that in the first, it says only the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the what? The clouds. And we shall be with him. But then, the second time he comes, it says every eye shall see him, and every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow, and that he is Jesus Christ. And he is Lord and Savior, and he will split. Come on, he will set his foot on the Mount of Olives, and he will split it down the middle. He will set up his kingdom for 1,000 years and rule and reign with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. And I wish somebody would get happy with me today. Somebody would praise him today. Somebody would give him glory today. We thank you, Father, for your word today in Jesus' mighty name. I want to pray for you guys real quick. Again, I hope that you have enjoyed this. I hope that if it's answered a couple questions for you, I hope that it has filled in some blanks and put some puzzle pieces together for you today. And listen, I want to pray for you right now in case maybe you're watching this program, maybe you're watching this by YouTube, listening by podcast, watching by Facebook Live, and your heart's not right with God, and you want to make there an assurance right now that if you were to die today, tonight, now, or maybe an hour from now, 5 minutes from now, whenever it is, your time has come. You want to make sure that to be absent from your body, you're present with the Lord. I want to make sure that you get that opportunity right now. Come on, I don't want you to repeat after me. I want you to pray your own prayer. And I want to pray with you. And while I'm praying with you, I want you to stop what you're doing. If you're driving, if you need to pull over, whatever you got to do, I want you to stop and I want you to pray with me from your heart and believe. The Bible says if you'll believe in your heart and you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he rose, that he died and rose again from the dead and that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, then you shall be saved. Father, I thank you for everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, every man, every woman, every child. And I pray for those that don't have a relationship with you, those that are backslid, those that have fallen away, those that may not be in a right place with you right now. Father, I pray that they would make their hearts right with you. They would get their lives right with you. That they would not delay this. That, Father, they would repent of their sins. And that they would ask you to cleanse them. And Lord, I ask that you'd cleanse them. Make them whole. Make them ready. Make them right and right standing before you, Lord. I pray if there be any stray, any prodigal sons and daughters, I pray that you would draw them by the Holy Spirit back into your bosom, back into your kingdom. And that, Lord, that they would have an assurance to know that, God, to be absent from this body would be present with you, Lord, this day. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you, and we pray, have your way with them, Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Guys, real quick, again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you've not yet subscribed, we want to encourage you to do so. Again, you can find that information right there on your screen. It's coming up, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you have not yet done it, please go to our main website. Go to subscribe. all you got to do is put in your name, put in your email address, click subscribe, and you'll get a daily digest into your inbox every single day, and you'll be able to keep up with our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Again, if you've not downloaded our official ETH app, maybe you're new to the broadcast, maybe you're new to the podcast or YouTube or Facebook, wherever it is, we have an official app, and it's available on iTunes, and it's available on Google, on the Google Play Store, and it's free. It's absolutely free, no charge to you. All you got to do is download it, and again, it'll be right at your hand. You'll get all of our latest headlines. You'll get our podcast available to you. You'll get our YouTube channel available to you, and you'll be able to keep up with our ministry and all that we do. And again, as always, we want to give you an opportunity. Again, our messages are free. Our YouTube channel is free. Our podcast is free. Our app is free. Our emails are free. Our digest is free. Everything is free to you guys. We pay all the expenses with our ministry. All we ask you to do is if the Lord has blessed you, if the Lord has blessed you through our ministry, maybe it's informed you, it's transformed you, it equips you, whatever the case may be, or all of it. We ask that whatever the Lord may put upon your heart, we ask that you'd sow into this ministry, whatever the Lord may put on your heart. Maybe it's a one-time gift. Maybe it's the Lord has put on your heart and you say, I want to become a monthly partner like many others that have partnered with us to help us to remain strong year after year. And if you want to do that, guys, we want you to be able to go and make it easy for you to do that. Again, if you've downloaded our app, you can see right there on your screen. You just click on that app on the bottom right there, on the bottom right, it's going to say donate. If you click on that, you can give electronic. It's going to take you to a page where you can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. And again, that's going to come up on your screen so you can see that. And again, to give by check or money order, we ask that you'd make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312. That's currently Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Again, that's End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Again, as always, guys, I want to just say from the bottom of my heart, we greatly appreciate your support, your prayers, and your generous giving and partnership to this ministry to help us to continue to remain strong. I want to give you a quick update. I know some of you guys are probably wanting to know this before we close. If you don't know this, maybe you already know this, or maybe this is the first time you're going to hear this, but our ministry and our family is currently in the process. And when I say process, it's a multi-stage process of moving out of the state of Indiana down south to the state of Georgia. We're going to be in the Monroe area in Georgia. Very nice weather, very nice ministry opportunities down there, a great opportunity. We have family, friends down there. It's a move that we have been in the process of for about at least a year now, if not longer. But it's been a continual process, and we're down to the last leg of this process. And it deals with employment for my wife, who's in the nursing field. Many of you guys in the medical field will understand this, but she has to get a nursing license from the state of Georgia, and that process takes several weeks in itself. So we're waiting for that process, and then when that process is over, then it's the place of employment, and then we put our house up for sale, and then it goes on the market, and then through that process, we don't know how long that's going to be. That's all in the hands of the Lord. We are praying, number one, and we ask for your agreement on this. We ask for a smooth transition. We ask for a quick transition because we want to, hopefully, by the will of the Lord, we will have this done and be there by this summer and before winter kicks in. I want to be down there before fall, actually, to be honest with you. So we will pray. The Lord willing that will happen, but nevertheless, in His timing, it will happen. So we thank you and we appreciate for your prayers of agreement that all this will move and transition smoothly. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for this week and for this weekend. And we pray that you guys have a safe and blessed weekend. And we will be back on here on probably more likely on Monday, Lord willing. And we'll probably be back on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of next week. And we'll have some, probably some devotional words. We may kick off a new series, or we'll have a prophetic viewpoint segment in which we'll go over some news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. So we'll just have to see how this plays out. And guys, again, let me say this. We need to be praying for our cities like Minneapolis, and pray for our major cities. Pray for all those involved. There needs to be major healing, restoration, restitution, reconciliation. All this needs to take place. It's absolutely terrible that we're seeing the things happen. Justice needs to be served. It needs to happen. But we pray that it would do so under peaceful terms. Okay, we don't want people hurt. We don't want our cities destroyed. So again, we pray for the peace of God and the will of God to be done in this situation. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're signing off. We'll see you next week.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines. Mm-hmm.